The return we've been waiting for is finally here. One of the sport's most notorious icons is stepping to the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes for this weekend's fight. DraftKings is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with first deposit.
If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledges to the test to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Plus, don't forget about football playoffs, where DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience.
Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. As always, I'm Brendan.
I'm Taylor.
And Taylor, the Sabres might not be as bad as we thought? Question mark?
Or will they be?
Or will they be? If there's one thing we've learned over the past 2 years, it is to not trust anything that the team does in the first half of the season.
Yeah, or especially the first very beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Before we get to those idiots, I have a quick thing I want to plug. So everyone who's a hockey fan around here has probably heard of the 11-day power play before. I know the first one was an actual 11-day hockey game. It was two teams. They seriously played hockey for 11 days, just 20 guys on each squad. Pretty insane. So in the intervening years, there's been some it was kind of like different. They like got a lot of people involved to help with more fundraising. So like they were shifts, like you'd play a 4-hour shift. Anyway, going back to the actual 11-day power play in 2021. And it's going to be November 13th through 24th at Riverworks. You might've already heard about this, but there are people raising money already. So anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out because one of my friends, Kristen Spilecki, has a donation page. She's one of two women that are competing this time, and she's one of 40 people overall. It's going to be 252 hours, which is absurd. So just insane stuff. So obviously I'm sure and I'm hopeful there will be audiences will be safe by that time. It'll be safe to gather in crowds by November. God, let's hope so. So the goal is to raise $1 million for cancer research. I think they've already raised over 100,000. Even though it's not for almost 10 months, you can start donating now or whenever you want. It's at communityshift.11daypowerplay.com/donate. If you have friends or acquaintances that are participating on their social media, they probably are tweeting out or on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, putting their own donation pages. You can donate in their name. You can also donate in someone's name, like maybe someone that you know, a loved one that died of cancer or is fighting cancer. So just wanted to get that out there. Kristen actually was on the inaugural, I believe, I hope I'm not getting this wrong, Monsignor Martin girls hockey team in the first year of high school girls hockey around here, and I think won the championship, and I could be wrong about that.
Very cool.
But if I am wrong, you know, I'm wrong in a good way. At least I'm wrong being positive. So anyway, let's get to the bad hockey team.
Well, also before
the hockey team.
Well, before we do that though, we should also say, well, can we share those links if you have them, Taylor? After we tweet out the episode, you should attach them to it so people can go to the donation page right away.
Oh yeah, yeah, that'll be on Twitter on Straight Up Sabres.
All right, let's talk about the hockey team.
All right, yeah.
Initial reaction. So, the Sabres, of course, we had covered the Washington series in our episode from earlier this week, and the Sabres then went to Philadelphia, where they played two games against the Flyers. They won the first, lost the second, looked okay. They looked all right. Like, they definitely looked a lot better. They I think we all could agree that in the Washington games, they looked very sluggish, very slow, which is expected after a 10-month layoff, as we've been saying. But against Philly, it seems like they kind of picked up the tempo a little bit. And Reinhardt, Eichel, Hall, man, they just unloaded. I mean, they looked great. Of course, they weren't able to put anything away on Brian Elliott somehow in the second game of the series. But Sam Reinhardt had 2 goals in the first game against Philly, along with 2 for Curtis Lazar. Carter Hutton, again, not going to get ahead of ourselves because he looked okay at the start of last year, but he has looked okay so far. He's looked pretty good. I don't expect that to continue. And also, we don't even know what his status is now after he took a pretty nasty hit from Ivan Provorov, but it was actually Brandon Montour's fault. So
100%.
And so now, between him being hurt, he eventually was replaced by Jonas Johansson in the third period of the game against of the second game against Philly. And Linus Ullmark, we don't totally know what's going on. It appears that he has a personal issue situation that he's dealing with right now. So the Sabres don't really have any goalies. And who in the world, who among us would have predicted that the Sabres should have done something differently with their goaltending situation in the offseason? I mean, who ever could have predicted such a thing?
So, and it's especially annoying because they have someone, their first replacement from Rochester, in case, let's say, Carter Hutton is terrible or injured or both or whatever, it means that Jonas Johansson would have to play. And I don't think Jonas Johansson showed anything last year. And I believe he's 25 years old now.
He especially didn't in preseason this year either.
Yeah, that's right. And he basically has 1 good AHL season under his belt. And that's it. That's troubling. Not everyone's Andrew Hammond, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely annoyed by that. The Montour thing is, it's one of my least favorite things in hockey or in sports in general. It's a little bit different in other sports, but this specific type of play in hockey, a guy is going towards your goalie and you cross-check him hard in the back or hit him hard from behind into your goalie and then get mad at him. Like, first of all, it's really stupid. Second, it's insanely dangerous. Like, what are you doing? Because at that point, one of the key things here, you're not affecting the play. Whatever he's going to do in terms of making a play, whether he shoots or passes, misses, scores, whatever, it's already decided. He's already passed you. You hitting him from behind is you letting off steam because you got beat, and he gets beat a lot, so I guess he's a lot of steam to let off. So that was annoying, especially as Hutton I thought was playing okay. I don't think he was playing incredibly well the past few games. I think
okay, but that's the thing though, is like,
yeah, okay, average is a big step is up all for
they
him,
need
yeah.
They just need average. They need, yeah, perfectly average out of him, and he's, yeah, better at least.
Yeah, so I would say, so with this start, I think it's almost undeniable that the Sabres have played 3 pretty good games in a row, but also it's 100% undeniable that they are 1-3 in last place with 7% of the season gone. Now that's not a ton of the season. It's not nothing either. It's a lot more this year. This is basically 2/3 of a season they're playing. Mm-hmm. So a lot less time to catch up if they do fall behind. But yeah, they have looked good in some ways. Like there is a lot to actually be happy about. I mean, we're not going to get to all of it right now. We'll see how they look later this week. I don't want to overreact to 2 games. But one of the big things, like, I'm kind of thrilled about is, hey, so far, I can't hate the Ristel McCabe thing. Can't hate it so far. It has not been bad. Those guys look pretty good. I actually can't hate Ralph's whole defensive system in general. Here's the problem, though, guys. Like, you need to score to win. If you look at this year, obviously Monday's game, awesome. Best game they've played in a long time, obviously. But I mean, even before the pandemic happened. The other 2 games were kind of identical, and you were playing against Brian Elliott and a guy named Vanacek, whatever his name is his first game. You need to score. You're not like the Blues of 5 years ago or the Islanders of now. Like, you have Eichel, Hall, Reinhardt, Skinner. You have all these guys, Olofsson. You should have a decent power play, a good power play even. So even like, it kind of means nothing to play well for 5-on-5 for 48 to 55 minutes of the game or whatever it is. If you're not going to score at 5-on-5, and especially if you're not going to score on your power plays. So
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. In general, though, I'm not displeased. I should say I'm pretty happy with how things are. With how almost everyone's looked. I have a couple of nits to pick, but we'll see.
Well, that's kind of what my overarching point is, I guess, for the first four games, is that they are 1-3, as we said. They haven't been scoring enough. Overall, though, I agree with you that they have looked pretty good. And I think that if they can continue to play at the rate that they're playing at and have the underlying numbers that they're having, the goals will come. One thing, though, that is concerning, I guess you could look at it actually, no, it's 100% concerning. What am I even saying? I have not been blown away by Jack or Dahlin this season. Eichel is somehow tied for the league in points with 6. I'm sure by the time everybody listens to this, that will change, considering we have a whole slate of games tonight and the Sabres aren't back until Friday, I believe. But Jack has 6 points, as does Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall has looked as good as advertised, but Jack really hasn't been blowing the doors off. And I don't think it's any secret that Rasmus Dahlin has left something to be desired as well. You know, we've talked at length about Dahlin, that defenseman of his stature, where they're, you know, even if it is like a first round high end defenseman, it takes some time for them to really find their complete game. You know, the comparison we always look to, that people often look to, I should say, is like Victor Hedman, and how it took him, I think, 4 or 5 seasons before he really found his scoring touch. Hedman, on the other hand, though, was more of a physical freak than Dahlin is. But yeah. I don't think that it's unfair for people to say, you know, look at Quinn Hughes and look at Cale Makar. Why isn't Dahlin this? We have discussed at a pretty good length that in large part, this is due to Kruger's system, and how he's asking Dahlin to play a little bit different than what his maybe natural style is, and really playing to his strengths, and more so having him play to a system, which I know both of us disagree with, particularly in his case.
Yeah.
But with that being said, though, I still have faith in Dahlin. I want to make that clear. I still think he is going to be great. I think he has all the potential in the world. But because it is okay, everybody, to have nuance in these conversations, I am still not exactly over the moon with how he's looked. I feel like a lot of people have taken this one way or the other approach, where they're like, he's fine, it's going to be okay. And then other people are like, he looks terrible, he sucks, I'm worried. And I think we could maybe find something in the middle a little bit more towards him being okay, but like, you could still have a positive outlook for him for the future while still feeling like he's leaving something to be desired in his game. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, because it's important to note that like his range of outcomes is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, and we had the potential to have, not even just like the defenseman Eichel, but like the defenseman McDavid, which is a lot of people thought Dahlin would be at his draft time. I don't know if that's still the potential, but there's, I don't know, potential for him to be in the class with Makar, Hughes, those guys who have really, Heiskanen's another good example, mm-hmm. who jumped Heiskanen on the scene, sure. This great, great young defenseman. So there's a huge range. So he could be maybe better than those guys. He could be those guys. He could just be a very good defenseman. He could be good, or he could just be like not really a first pairing guy. This could be what he tops out as. I kind of doubt that, and I hopefully doubt that. But yeah, it's concerning to see him play like this. Like, it's year 3. I would hope to take more of a leap, and I have to wonder a little bit about Kruger, because it's a strange thing where he plays a more defensive system, but it almost makes the forwards defense shine more than a defenseman. Like before this little bit recently, Ristolainen was nothing. He was straight up bad for the last 2 years. We'll say that. Last year, I guess, is the relevant year here. Mm-hmm. Montour, after he got traded here at the end of the 2018-19 season, I think that would have been, or whatever that was. I don't know. He looked okay.
Better with Housley than he did with Kruger.
Yeah, he's looked really bad under Kruger. And now he didn't look good under Randy Carlyle either, but, you know, another bad coach.
Right.
So it's a concern, definitely. Dahlin did not take the step after his first year that you thought he would have. like I mentioned Montour. I mean, none of these other guys like McCabe or Miller or even like Yuki Haru stand out that much. So I don't know. It's something to think about. It's an interesting trend.
The other thing too, I guess we kind of, you know, closing the, making it full circle with this conversation on Dahlin is, I think what's most troubling about it is I feel okay about it in the long term with him, but in my mind, for the Sabres to make any kind of noise in the playoff and make the playoffs this year, they need him to take that step now. You know, 2 or 3 years from now, we may be looking back at this time and being like, yeah, he just needed a little bit longer to cook. He figured it out, whatever it is. But, you know, time isn't exactly a luxury that the Sabres have at the moment. And Dahlin, he needs to be on the level of Hughes and Makar for the Sabres to take that next step. You know, I mean, the forwards, like, you have the star power there. I know goalie, obviously, we really don't have a whole lot to write home about, but Dahlin is supposed to be that game breaker on the blue line that the Sabres have really, like, I mean, have they had that since Housley? Probably not to the degree that we're expecting Dahlin to be. Right. So it's something that's plagued this franchise for a long time. And I think Dahlin will end up being a good, true number one defenseman, but I mean, he's just not that right now. And we need him to be, if the Sabres have any hope of making it to the postseason.
Absolutely. He needs to just be, I would say, like 20% better this year. Like, part of that is, yes, Kruger, he needs to be allowed to carry the puck. He needs to be allowed to make plays when he wants to make plays. He needs to be allowed to, like, authorized to do the things that he's talented enough to do and not just worry about being the best defenseman possible in your own zone. That, you know, it starts there, but you can't, like, pigeonhole someone into that until they're perfect at it, especially to the detriment of the team.
Right.
If he's playing to his potential, he'll be an excellent offensive defenseman. I mean, if he's not good in his own zone, if he's a less than stellar in his own zone, that just puts him in a class with like John Carlson, who was second in Norris voting last year, who's won a Stanley Cup. I mean, if he's a guy that ends up getting like 20 goals and 40 assists a year, you take him being a little less than stellar in his defensive zone, you know?
100%. You don't even think twice about it.
Yeah. It's not like Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson were like, I don't know, Zdeno Chara in their own end.
Yeah,
not everyone's fine with that.
And Ralph needs to be fine with that too.
Not everyone should be. That kind of gets back to our Skinner point we were making before. Like, you just can't have everyone be good at defense. And that's fine because you'll have guys like Skinner who can score. I'm sure we'll talk about Skinner later. I'd like to see more of him a little bit.
Right, right.
Before I make a judgment on all this.
And for what it's worth too, to and at least in Skinner's case, one brief comment on him. I still strongly disagree with the deployment and playing him with Lazar and Sheehan specifically. I think him and Sheehan can definitely work together in a third line role, but I mean, you can't really he's looked good. Like he has generated at 5-on-5. I think, you know, last episode I had talked about how, you know, over the past 5 years, he's been one of the top five best 5-on-5 in terms of like expected goal. He's been in the top goals for, he has been in the top five consistently at even strength. And he, I believe, is in the top 10 already to start off this season. And he's not getting exactly the most prime quality minutes. He is still, though, I mean, making it not be, you know, we're just buried in our own zone when he's out there. Like, they still are at least generating some chances on the fourth line. And that's great. Like, that's definitely good. But somebody of his caliber, though, you need to move him up the lineup to give him more opportunities to score, because one, he hasn't fully put it away yet. And two, it could be an opportunity for you to get somebody like Erik Staal scoring, you know. Staal admittedly has looked kind of slow, but I don't think of that as like a Patrick Berglund kind of slow, because even though he had the one really bad giveaway that led to a goal, otherwise he has made a lot of sound plays, like the little things, you know, where he's not colossally screwing up in the way that you would expect how like Berglund or Sobotka, when you bring them in to be this veteran presence, like Staal has at least made the smart, easy plays for the most part. And so I'm okay with that. And I think the goals will come.
He's a thinking man's David Legwand.
Yeah.
Man.
Any thoughts on Eichel though, too, Taylor, with his start? Have you been not blown away by him either?
No. And I would say more so than anything, two things actually. One is I'm not blown away by him playing with Hall so far. And I don't think they need to play together. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably another conversation for the future, but it's like, you can do a lot of, let's say, lineup optimization, like they're quote unquote, like they're trying to do with Jeff Skinner, definitely not trying to punish him for being bad at defense. You can do that a lot better by moving Hall down, especially if you've like a first line of Eichel, Olofsson, and Reinhardt. You know, it was last year's first line. It was good. They did well. Olofsson isn't really all that useful at 5-on-5 without Eichel to set him up.
Right.
And then you could have a second line with Hall, Stahl. That's still a good second line.
I don't know if your other winger.
Anyway, but yeah. The other point I was going to say is Eichel, great job setting people. Great job passing. Great job playing with Reinhardt. He's had a lot of assists. I'm not overly impressed. And I think one of the things is if you're not going to play an excellent 60-minute game or 22, however many minutes you're on the ice, you can make that up by scoring. And the best time to score is in the power play. So shoot on the goddamn power play, Jack.
Like that's put.
Yeah.
You know, who's a pairing who I'd like to see together? A wing pairing. I want to see Hall and Skinner together just to see what would happen.
See, that's interesting.
I kind of like that like matchup just to see. I mean, they don't play the same kind of game. They're both exceptional skaters in different ways. Hall is, I think, a lot more of a faster north to south kind of guy, whereas Skinner is just like gorgeous the way that he works like his edges on his skates and his turns. But I think they would be kind of interesting. They also, I mean, Hall obviously can score with the best of them, but he, like Jack, he can use his skating, I guess, to be like a playmaker by trade. And so when you can have somebody like Skinner, who is an elite 5-on-5 goal scorer, I just think that would be a really interesting wing pairing. I don't know who you would put in between them. I mean, Stahl would work definitely. I know then that would probably lead to some issues with, you know, filling out the rest of the lineup, but I kind of like that idea as something for the Sabres to maybe try. You know, when, if you're going to be looking for scoring, why not at least try and do that?
Absolutely. And there's one more thing before we go.
Give it to me.
Dylan Cousins
so far, looks so awesome. So he's looked so great. Can I ask you this though?
Yes.
Would you trade him for Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Probably.
Me too.
I have to think about it.
I think that PLD is like Cousins' best case scenario, and I think that it's well within reach that Cousins can get there, but PLD is only a few years older, and you already know, like, he's already made it and established himself, and rather than, I would be willing to trade him for it. Granted, I would like it a lot better if they could base it around, like, not him, Eichel, Dahlin, or Reinhardt. Anybody else is fair game. So, I mean, I wouldn't even blink if it was like Olofsson and like Quinn were the centerpiece of a deal. I would not even think twice. So, I don't know. Just curious. But yeah, Cousins has looked awesome though. I shouldn't say that to like discredit him, because that's more me saying that I think PLD is awesome. But Cousins has looked great. I mean, I don't think that, knock on wood, no Casey Mittelstadting going on here.
Yeah.
What have you liked the most about him?
I would say that he looks like and carries himself like he belongs so far. Like when I watch him, I don't feel like it's a guy in his first few NHL games. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas even though Casey didn't look bad right away, he did feel that way.
Right, right.
Like immediately. And most guys do. It's not even really a knock on guys. Like, you just look like, oh, it's your first, it's a whole different speed. It's, you know, it's the best league in the world. And he doesn't look like that. It looks like the speed of the game isn't too fast for him.
Right.
And he's solid all around.
I agree.
Like, which is what everyone said he would be.
I agree. I think he's going to be good. Well, we kept it as a quick one for this week, just because there are some more pressing matters going on this weekend that I think everybody's attention will be focused on. And of course, I'm talking about the Sabres, you know, two away games with Washington on on Friday and Sunday. Nothing else really happening. But no, we will be back with a new episode on Monday. We just wanted to give a brief update on what's been going on with the Sabres so far in the season. We will be back with our Monday episode and be talking about the games against Washington. Probably not talking about the Bills, because I'm assuming we're both going to want to record beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah. But for what it's worth, again, the Sabres are in Washington on Friday the 22nd at 7 o'clock and Sunday the 24th. A reminder that that game was moved up to 3 o'clock because of the Bills game in Kansas City, which gets underway, I think, a little bit after 6 o'clock. But with that being said, though, everybody, this has been Straight Up Sabres, once again presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and Buffalo Fanatics. Again, the Hockey Podcast Network, 31 teams, 31 shows, plus a bunch of extra awesome hockey content. As again, we are just now really kind of hitting the stride on the 2021 season. The Hockey Podcast Network is your one-stop shop for all things NHL. And make sure you're checking out Buffalo Fanatics as well. Buffalo Fanatics is the premier place to get all of your Buffalo Bills coverage as the Bills prepare to take on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. So make sure you check them out. Make sure you're checking us out on social media as well. Make sure you're following all of us on our respective streaming platforms. And Taylor, who is your random Sabres player of the episode?
Wow. Random Sabres player of the episode. I had this all thought out. What's an appropriate one? You know what? I'm going to go with one I just read a story on today, and I've probably shouted him out recently on here. I don't know, either in a quiz or on this. Steve Hines. Steve Hines runs a dog grooming type player, like a dog, like daycare thing. You know, when you go on vacation, you got to leave your dog somewhere. He has that because he left his dog at a place one time when he was on the road for something, and his dog died there. He thought the place was run so poorly, he wanted to put it out of business. And he worked partnering with some other people that ran like a good dog hotel type place. And very cool story. I read about in The Athletic, a good story John Vogel had.
That's beautiful. I caught that earlier. I didn't get to read the story yet, but I'll have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, very cool. Very interesting guy, that Steve Hines.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I don't really have a cool background for why I'm choosing this player, other than I believe that they were briefly teammates for a short time, but I'm going to go with Václav Varada.
Great name.
Classic Sabre. All right, everybody. Well, once again, this has been Straight Up Sabres. Thank you all so much for listening in. We will be back and talk to you on Monday.